back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm glad to have with me for the first time Cooper Quinn. Cooper, as I just noted, is the president and he's a president and director of Osprey Gold Development Limited, and he has worked for as a geologist in mining and exploration for a variety of exploration development companies with projects around the world. His experience ranges from project and public company management to acquisition and due diligence for private equity as well. So welcome, Cooper. It's good to have you with me.
Yeah, thanks, Jay. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. And maybe before we get started, I should mention that your stock trades in Toronto under the symbol OS. You can buy it down here in the States, as I have, under the symbol OSSPF. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong on this, Cooper, but 26.3 million shares only outstanding. Is that right?
That is correct, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is a factor to take into consideration as you listen to what Cooper has to say. 18 cents in U.S. money gives it a market cap of only around $5 million U.S. dollars. So this is really truly a micro-cap stock. And your flagship property there is the Goldenville property in Nova Scotia. It was Nova Scotia's largest historic gold producer. I think some 212,000 ounces produced in the past. And I know the old adage, of course, is that the best place to find gold is next to an old mine. But there's a lot of old mines around the world. What caused you to be interested in Nova Scotia, or in particular Goldenville?
Yeah, thanks. You know, there was a few factors that that drew us to Goldenville and to Nova Scotia. And you know, you kind of point out that there are a lot of old gold mines in the world, and that's true. But one of the things when we looked at Nova Scotia from a very, very high level was that there's these gold mines kind of all over this one portion of the world. And you know, what that tells us is that there's a significant gold and metals endowment in that region of the world. And so then, you know, one of the factors that drew us to Goldenville specifically was its status as the largest historic producer in Nova Scotia. And, you know, it did about 212,000 ounces at almost 12 grams between 1862 and 1942. And so that grade is, you know, not uncommon in this portion of the world. So that was kind of another plus for us. But beyond that, we saw a project, you know, that had a historic resource from 2005 on it that was, you know, fairly modest at a couple hundred thousand ounces, but we thought we could quickly grow and expand this resource with a bit of a rethink on the project by looking at it with using some different mining methods, incorporating some additional drilling work that had been done since that resource, and we were able to put together our current resource at the beginning of this year with just kind of some desktop work, and then we believe there's an opportunity to expand and grow this resource with our current drill program. And so when we started looking at Nova Scotia, it pretty quickly became apparent that there was the potential in this region to put together a whole portfolio of projects around some of these historic mines. And with the access and infrastructure that's in the province, we can really look at it kind of almost as one consolidated project. You know, it's not necessarily a pocket of discrete little things here and there. We can drive to every single one of these things. And so it was a region that had this access, had this infrastructure, had this historic production, and that really hadn't seen, I think, the amount of modern exploration work that comparable districts in other parts of Canada or exploration had seen. And so we were kind of able to go in and put together this portfolio with a great cornerstone asset at Goldenville that had a resource that, you know, was the largest historic producer at a very high grade. And initially we had only three other projects and that we feel we can grow our resources from there as well. And they're all within, you know, kind of driving distance of Goldenville. So really kind of like you say, you know, when I was a young geologist, there was an older prospector type who took me aside at one point and kind of jokingly told me that the best indicator element in the world for gold is gold. And I think that really plays into what you're saying there with, you know, the best place to find a new mine is next to an old one. So there was a lot that brought us there, but certainly just the massive metals endowment and the access and infrastructure, it seemed like a place that a lot more people should be doing work. And what we're finding now is that there's more and more people doing work out there.
Yeah, well, one of the things that intrigues me, Cooper, is the difference between your cut and non-cut grades. I think it's the number, maybe the official number now, is 203,000 ounces using a 0.75 cutoff, But if you you know, if you don't cap the grades, you get a 5 gram a 5 gram grade. But if you cap it, it's a 3 gram grade, with both pretty respectable for near surface numbers. But do you expect to be able to refine that a little more and give a more accurate, or I guess some metallurgical work and more drilling and testing and so forth? Because there's a big difference between 3 and 5 grams.
Yeah, there is. And, you know, I think one of the things we're doing, we're kind of doing things, I guess, all across the board to get a handle on that and to try and mitigate some of those effects. You know, we're drilling HQ core this year on our program, mm-hmm. which is a much larger sample to try and see what, you know, just up that sample size. And then we're doing, you know, at the lab, we're doing larger samples and stuff like there to really try to get a handle on it and its potential impact for the project. We've very carefully kind of planned our drill holes with that in mind as well. But I think one of the things I can say is that if you look at the historic production grades at Goldenville, I think we're very confident the gold is there. And as you say, even if you're looking at the cut grade of 3 grams per ton, just over 3 grams per ton, I think, for that near surface resource, it's still a very significant grade for a open pit resource. The other main kind of project in the region is they're looking at production grades of about 1.4 grams per ton. So we've got significant grade there on our side, I think. And the metallurgy work that has been done at Goldenville shows that, and most of the Nova Scotia and the Maguma terrain shows that most of this gold is actually gravity recoverable, which is also very, very good down the road in keeping the process flow sheets fairly simple. So
yeah.
It does have an impact on it, but I think we're confident that the gold is there. And like I said, if you look at just the, you know, the past production on the project and then some of the other places and other projects in the region, we're happy with where we're at, and we'll be doing what we can to try to get our best handle on that.
Right. Well, it seems clear to me that you have an awful lot of exploration potential, near surface exploration potential around some of these old operations. What can you tell us about your existing program, your exploration program this year, and what are the goals of that program?
Our current exploration program, we just kicked off drilling in the past couple of weeks here. So it has a couple of components to it. First off, it is this expansion and exploration drilling at Goldenville. So we'll be looking to build on that current resource, understand that resource a little bit more through some infill and expansion drilling, and some of that will be near-surface drilling, focused on near-surface resources, especially off to the eastern portion of the property. So we'll be drilling off kind of the traditional vein-hosted mineralization there at Goldenville, as well as then the other component to it there is taking a look at more disseminated-type mineralization between the veins at Goldenville.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're looking closely at some of the geophysics and stratigraphy within the sediments on the project to look for areas of increased thickness in the argillites and slates that have been host to some of the disseminated mineralization that Atlantic Gold is putting into production. And so looking at that vein-hosted mineralization, expanding that resource, and then as well as looking at these argillites and slates and the potential for disseminated mineralization between the veins could be a real game-changer for us there. And then later on in the drill program, we'll be drilling off about 3.5 kilometers to the west of Goldenville at Mitchell Lake, which is where we've had some surface crews doing exploration, geochemistry, mapping, sampling work over there to generate some great drill targets over on that portion of the property.
Yeah, so if you can come up with some significant bulk tonnage, I guess with this dissemination between veins, it could really change the economics fairly dramatically. Is that what they have over at Atlantic Gold? And how big is that project?
It is. So they've got a pretty significant disseminated resources over there. And I think, you know, they've kind of shown that they've shown two paradigm shifts for Nova Scotia here. One is the disseminated mineralization. And that's been pretty key for them to put these bulk targets together. But as well, then, the realization that because of the access and infrastructure that's in place in Nova Scotia, that they can put together several smaller deposits and put it into one consolidated project. They've currently got, I believe, about 850,000 ounces of reserves in their mine plan. But I believe they'll have some new studies out next month that should be very good for them and have some interesting implications for us with the incorporation of their Cochrane Hill project into their mine plan, which is about 10 kilometers up the road from Goldenville. And, you know, kind of on the disseminated note, the just an interesting aside, is that Mitchell Lake, I was reading an article from the newspaper in Nova Scotia from, I believe, 1913, and there's a reference to the disseminated mineralization in the slates and argillites there that said it was going to be, you know, the future of gold mining in Nova Scotia was this disseminated mineralization. So they may have been a little bit ahead of themselves, but, we're figuring that out now.
Yeah. Very interesting. Well, we just have a couple of minutes left, Cooper, but I have to ask you, on June 26th, Osprey signed a letter of intent to acquire the past producing, I think it's a past producing mine, the Caribou Gold Mine. What can you tell us about that prospect?
You know, Caribou is something, I'll try to keep it brief here, but Caribou is a project that we're very excited about for a couple of reasons. You know, just spatially, it's approximately 8 kilometers from Atlantic Gold's Touquoy Mill site there. It hosts a historic resource of just under 100,000 ounces, and it produced about 100,000 ounces through its lifespan from 1862 to 1952. But so crucially, Caribou has a significant amount of argillites mapped on the project there, which are host to that disseminated mineralization at Atlantic. And then it has these large stockwork zones that have had excellent grades over significant 10-plus meter widths, you know, 30-foot widths, where we could build tonnage and build gold resources there, I think, in relatively short order. And if we were able to do that, then we're very, very close to Touquoy there, which would be an advantage for us and reduces that barrier for what we would need to discover, I think, and put together for a resource.
Yeah, you certainly have a very low market cap, Cooper, and that's attractive to me. I like to buy companies that the markets haven't really come to understand yet, and it seems to me they certainly haven't focused on you very much, which I guess is one of the reasons I'm happy to have you tell the story. To what extent are you going to need to raise any money? Do you have enough money to take you through this year's program so that maybe some good news can lift your stock before you have to raise some more money?
We do. You know, we're currently funded through all of our planned exploration programs, and so then I would hope that then we'll have certainly some exploration success with that. And then, you know, as for us, it is critical to make sure we keep that share count low, especially in the beginning of the company. And we're looking, you know, sitting next door to our neighbors, which are a $250 million market cap company with Atlantic there, and we're sitting there there certainly the little fish in the pond. But hopefully that gives shareholders a little bit more room for upside than it would with potentially a larger company.
Yeah, just one more thing. Management owns some shares, insiders.
Sure. Certainly, management and the founders of the company and insiders do hold a very significant portion of the company. And I think realistically, we've probably got, you know, a few million shares that are actually in the float and kind of trading out there. We've tried very hard to make sure that everyone who was in the story at the beginning here during this critical kind of first phase is in it for the long term, and will back the company in the future.
Thank you very much, Cooper, for being with us today, and look to keep up with you in the future.
Great, Jay. Thanks for the time. And like you say, I'm very happy to see the gold prices kind of working with us here this month. And so we'll talk to you soon, I'm sure.